Opening your Bibles with me, please, to the second chapter of Genesis. The first book of your Bible, probably the easiest one to find. Genesis is usually easier to find than Revelation because most of our Bibles have some form of concordance or references at the back. Genesis, the second chapter, and I'm going to read verses 15 through 25. As we begin our consideration of God's Word this morning. Genesis chapter 2 and the 15th verse. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And the Lord God said, It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle, and to the fowls of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found an helpmeet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs, and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, This is now bone of my bones, and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. Let us bow for prayer as we begin to look at God's Word this morning, pleading His direction and protection over His divine Word. Heavenly Father, we thank You this morning that the book before us is the very inspired Word of God. We thank You that these first six chapters of Genesis are absolutely literal and true in everything they say. Father, we thank You that though the world may rage against these words, they are forever settled in heaven, and they will not fail. Father, as we approach Your Word this morning, we do so acknowledging before You that we are fallible men kneeling before the infallible Word. And so, Father, may You protect Your Word from the errors that man may try to impose upon it. For the Word is pure, but the thoughts of men are prone to error. Mm-hmm. And so, Father, may Your Spirit direct us and guide us in the Word this day. Father, may we rejoice in the truth that we will see from Your Word this morning that is so hated and despised by the world. Bless Thy Word to us in Jesus' name. Amen. If you look back to the first chapter in Genesis, in verses 26 and 27, you'll find these words. And God said, Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them. God created man, and when God created man, He created them male and female. He created them differently, but complementary. He created them male and female, but one does not exist in isolation from the other. And this principle is found throughout nature. both in the living creatures and in the physical world. Everyone that drove a vehicle here this morning drove a vehicle with a battery. And if that battery did not have both a negative and a positive charge, you would still be sitting in your driveway. That didn't evolve. That is the way God made it. We have a North Pole and a South Pole. Why? Because God created this world with contrasting elements that are essential one to another. The two must work in conjunction. A battery that only has a positive charge will not work. A magnet has two poles to it. And God created man, male and female. And the world is doing everything it possibly can in this day and age to destroy the contrast. Mm-hmm. But I tell you, if it were not for God creating man, male and female, just like you would be sitting in your driveway if you didn't have a battery with positive and negative, you would not be here today.
Amen. Right.
If it were not for male and female. And so, today is Mother's Day. And I told my wife on the way here this morning, I don't want to beat up on the women. That's not my purpose at all. But this morning, I want us to consider from Scripture the differences between male and female as God made them and as God intended them to be. And just as certainly as a battery with only a positive and not a negative is worthless, so man without woman is worthless, and woman without man has no purpose. And so the first thing I'd like us to see is that God made man and woman different, even in the materials from which they were made. Look with me at chapter 2, verses 7 and 8. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And you'll notice the man there is singular. Eve has not yet been created. There was a singular man, a man alone, that God had created of the dust of the ground and put eastward in the garden. And I would have us to note, as we consider the creation of Adam, the significance of the dust, the significance of the material from which he was made. For when Adam sinned and when Adam was cursed, all of Adam's sin and the result of his sin, the curse of his sin, is related back to the material from which God made him. It's related to the dust. Look at chapter 3, verse 17. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife and eaten of the tree which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, the ground is cursed. The dust is cursed. The ground is cursed for thy sake. In sorrow thou shalt eat of it. You're going to eat of that which comes out of this material from which I made you. You're going to eat of that which comes out of the ground all the days of thy life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth. This material from which I made you, this material into which I breathe the breath of life, the very dust is going to bring forth thorns and thistles to you. And thou shalt eat the herbs thereof, of the field. In the sweat of thy face thou shalt eat breath, until thou return unto the ground. For out of it thou wast taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. God's curse upon Adam was related to the very material which from which God had made man. But then look at chapter 3, verse 14. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly thou shalt go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. The curse on the serpent was that he would eat dust all the days of his life. How many of you have ever had a pet snake? Well, my wife raises her hand because we have a son who loves reptiles and always had snakes in the house growing up from the time he was very young. And when he got married and moved away, he took his snakes with him. And 3 months later, my wife and I went out and bought a snake because we just had to have one in the house. We were so used to it. And my mother-in-law would not come and spend the night with us. And we couldn't figure out why. We had a beautiful bedroom and everything. And finally it was admitted that she was afraid that that snake would get loose in the middle of the night. And so I got rid of my snake so my mother-in-law could stay with us. Snakes don't eat dirt. Snakes eat frogs. They eat rodents. Earthworms. Some snakes will eat some plant products, eggs. Snakes do not eat dirt. And so there must be something more that God was instructing of us here when he cursed the serpent that it would eat dirt. It would eat of the dust is what it says. You'll go in your belly, 3:14, and that in dust thou shalt eat. Where did Adam come from? Dust. Dirt. Job 1. Satan, where have you been? From going up and down the earth and walking to and fro in it. Be sober, your adversary, be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. And what is man? But we are dust. We came from dust, and we return to dust. And the curse upon Satan was that he would go through the earth on his belly and he would consume dust. He would eat mankind. And my friend, as we find in Lamentations chapter 3, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. You see, Satan is devouring mankind. Satan is eating up the men of this earth. He's eating up the dust of this earth. That is the curse upon Adam. Adam, you came from the dust. You will be reminded of your dustiness. But God made Eve of different stuff. God made Eve differently. Adam was made of the dust, and his curse was directly related to the dust. It's interesting when God first, we think of God's promise to Abram that his children would be like the stars of the heaven. Did you realize before God told Abram his children would be like the stars of the heaven, that God told Abram your children would be like the dust of the earth? That's in Genesis 13, verse 11. Consider the woman taken in adultery. Not the one in the New Testament, but the one in the Old Testament. I should have said taken in adultery. The woman suspected of adultery in the Old Testament. In Numbers 5, she was to come before the priest. And the priest was to take the holy water and the dust from the floor of the tabernacle. And he was to mix the two together. And that was the bitter water which was to enter into her belly. And if her belly swelled, she was guilty. Dust throughout Scripture is associated with evil and judgment. When the apostles went into a place and preached the gospel of Christ, and that gospel was rejected, they were to shake the dust of that place off their feet. They were not to carry with them any of the evil that they had encountered there. Adam was made of the dust. But look with me at Genesis 2 and verse 21. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. And he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought him unto her. And Adam said, This is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Do you realize that the woman alone was not made of dust? If you look at chapter 2, verse 19, and out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the earth. God made the animals out of dirt, just as he made Adam. And God made the hen to the rooster out of dirt. And God made the cow to the bull out of dirt. And God made the ewe to the ram out of dirt. But God made woman alone. She was taken out of man. Now this is glorious. Because a deep sleep was placed upon Adam. And the rib was removed. But Adam did not die. But my friend, more than a deep sleep was placed on Christ.
That's right.
Christ died. And out of his death, the church is taken.
That's right.
As a rib. And Christ said in his last fellowship with the disciples before his death, This is my body, take ye of it. This is my blood, drink ye of it. And so, in the creation of Eve, we have a glorious type and symbol of the death of Christ. And in his death, the church is extracted and created. And what is the church but the body of Christ? Mm-hmm. And we are one with him. And we are distinct from all the world. For we are a new creature. We are a new creation in Christ. Now think about what's happening today. Satan and the world are determined to obliterate the distinction between man and woman. Why does Satan hate it so much? Because it's a glorious picture of Christ in the church.
That's right.
It's all about Jesus Christ and his bride.
That's right.
And so the first thing that we see is that man and woman were created out of different stuff. You see, God told Adam, In the day you eat thereof, thou shalt surely die. And everyone who is not part of the rib dies eternally. But Christ has taken his church out of death for its glory. But not only were man and woman made of different stuff, woman made miraculously out of the body of Christ, out of the body of Adam, excuse me. But man and woman were made for different roles. They were made for different purposes, for different roles. Man was made, first of all, to labor. Even before the fall, man was told to labor. Look with me at verse 15 of chapter 2. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. Adam wasn't on vacation in the garden. That's the way we didn't tend to play to portray it. But Adam had a responsibility. He was to dress it and he was to keep it. After the fall, God says you're going to sweat. After the fall, God says it's going to bring forth thorns. After the fall, the labor became arduous. But the labor existed before the fall. God gave Adam responsibility. And Adam did not have the Ten Commandments, but he certainly had God's law. Look at all these trees, Adam. I want to show you something. Come over here and look at this one. This is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Mark it well. don't eat of it. For the day you eat thereof, thou shalt surely die. So God, first of all, made Adam for the role of the laborer. God made Adam to lead. We find in chapter 1, verse 26, and the Lord God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them, notice the them there, have dominion. But this again is before the creation of Eve. And the in the original, the word, and let them have dominion, is all one word. Let them rule. Let there be a rule. Let there be a structure of authority. And Adam was placed in that place of authority. He was given that role to lead. Verse 16 of chapter 2, or verse 28 of chapter 1. And the Lord blessed them, and the Lord said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth, subdue it. There's the leadership. And have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowls of the air. Chapter 2, verse 16. I'm going to have to move along here. I know, it's a blessing to preach to an audience I could preach all day, and you wouldn't mind, but we do need to move along. Genesis chapter 2, verse 16. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden. There's authority. This is the command. You're to eat of that, not to eat of that tree. And then again, Adam names the animals. That's dominion. That's rule. That's leadership. That's what God ordained. Eve was not yet created. We find in chapter 2, verse 20, that there was no mate found for Adam when he named all the animals. God created man to labor. God created man to lead. But thirdly, God created man for the role of protection. God created man to be a protector. In the glorious Song of Solomon, which is a glorious hymn of Christ and his church, chapter 2 and verse 3, as the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. He brought me to his banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. It's a glorious song of Christ in the church. But here we find the bride sitting under the shadow of the groom. Here we find Christ with his banner of love shielding from me the wrath of God the Father and the darts of the wicked one. I sit in his shadow. I remember a dear friend of mine preached on this text years ago. It's one of those messages that has stood out in my mind. God gave Adam the role of protector. And we may try to make accusation against Eve for her sin, but if you study Scripture, and we're going to look at a few verses, it was Adam's responsibility to protect his wife from sin. Adam was given the spiritual headship. Eve was not present when God said, don't eat of the tree. She was not yet created. Eve's knowledge of not eating of the tree had to be because Adam told her. And we have wondered why Eve kind of turns it around and says, don't touch of it either. That may have even been Adam's addition. He may have said to Eve something God had not said to him. Why did Eve fall? Why was she deceived by the serpent? Because Adam was not standing between her and the serpent. You see, God has given to the man the role of protection. There is that spiritual headship. In 1 Peter 3 and verse 7, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel. We protect the weak. Some folks will be critical in a family, saying, oh, mom and dad love that one more than they love the rest of us. But if you examine that situation, which I don't say it doesn't exist in families, but if you examine that situation, you will typically find that the one that everybody says, well, they love that one more than the others, is not the one that's the best grades, is not the one that does all the chores. It's the weakest one of the children. The one that the parents are often accused of loving the most is the one that needs the most help and the most guidance. Why? Because the parents have that job and that role of protecting this one and helping them to catch up the runt of the litter, so to speak. God has given that protecting role to the men. And Adam failed to protect his wife from sin. In Ephesians 5:28, so ought men to love their wives even as their own body. No man ever hated his own flesh, but nourisheth it and cherisheth it. We protect our flesh. Why do we use mosquito repellent? Because we don't want to get bit. We don't want to get bit. We protect our own flesh. And as fathers and husbands, as men, it is our responsibility to protect. That is part of the role God has given us. This is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. Women have a very distinctly different role. Now, let me say at the outset that there's a lot of overlap. There are times when women protect. We've all heard stories of women who have reached into a burning crib to pull an infant out in a fire. My father used to tell a story of a barn that burned. And as they were going through the smoldering ruins of the barn, they found a dead hen there on the floor. And someone kind of nudged it with its feet, and a bunch of chicks popped out their head. The hen could have flown out of the barn to safety, but she stayed there and was cooked alive with her chicks shielded under her wings. Women have that protecting role as well. But we find distinct in God's word the role of woman, and the first role that God gave the woman was to be a helpmeet. It was to be a companion. Look closely at the scriptures. Chapter 2 and verse 8. And the Lord God planted the garden eastward in Eden, and he put the man there whom he formed. Verse 15. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden to dress it and to keep it. Verse 18. And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I've made this beautiful garden. I've created all these animals. I've placed the man in the garden, but he doesn't have a mate. It's not good for him to be alone. Verse 19, out of the ground he formed every beast. Verse 20, and Adam gave names to the cattle, but for Adam there was not found an help meet for him. Verse 22, he takes the rib. Verse 24, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Eve was created specifically to be a help meet to Adam. The bulls had their cows. The roosters had their hens, the rams had their ewes, but there was not a mate, there was not a positive to the negative of Adam. There was not a north pole to the south pole of Adam. God created it this way. Boy, that's not popular. I am a male chauvinist pig, and I'm proud of it. No, honestly, the Word of God. The Word of God, folks. The world hates it, and Satan hates it because it's a picture of Christ in the church. But Eve was created to be a helpmeet. Yeah. In the New Testament, 1 Corinthians 11, verse 8 and 9, for the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Neither was man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. Verse 11 of 1 Corinthians 11. Nevertheless, neither is the man without the woman, neither is the woman without the man in the Lord. For as the woman is of the man, even so the man is also by the woman, but all things are of God. Isn't that beautiful? Mm-hmm. Isn't the way God made things perfect? Go back to the Solomon passage, Song of Solomon passage. I dwelt under his shadow. It's a beautiful thing because it's a picture of the church. It is not degrading of women, but rather it is exalting and elevating godly womanhood to the same level as the church. And Christ loved the church so much that he gave himself for it. It's no wonder that Satan hates it. Mm-hmm. We've read the verse in Genesis 2:24. Therefore shall man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. Paul quoted that in Ephesians 5, but then he expounded on its meaning under inspiration. For this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother, and they shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery. But I speak unto you concerning Christ and the church. Ephesians 5:31-32. What does Satan hate more than Jesus Christ himself? The bride of Jesus Christ, the church. What is the world raging against today? The bride of Christ, the church. The difference between male and female. The order that God has created. So first of all, God created woman for companionship, to be a helpmeet. But God also created man and woman for procreation. Adam alone could not fulfill God's command. Adam could not replenish the earth. He could tend the garden. He could keep it. But he could not fulfill God's will. And so God blessed them and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it. Our time is running short, but let's turn to 1 Timothy 2 and consider a somewhat difficult passage. 1 Timothy chapter 2, and let me read verses 9 through 15 there. Our time is getting short, but this is amazing. This is beautiful stuff. 1 Timothy 2, verse 9. In like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. Let the women learn in silence with all subjection, but suffer not a woman to teach or to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. For Adam was first formed, then Eve, and Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith and charity and holiness with sobriety. That's harsh. That sounds pretty rough. How many of you ladies read that and think, oh boy, this sounds good? No. But folks, it's beautiful. It's glorious. Let me show you the key to the passage. Look down again at verse 15. Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing. What does that mean? What is the glorious truth that this passage is teaching us about godly womanhood? It can't mean the salvation of her soul. A woman is not saved because she bears a child. She doesn't go to heaven because she became an earthly mother. It is not having given birth to the Messiah, as some may suggest, because that would be only one woman who was saved by childbearing if it was giving birth to the Messiah. It is certainly not saved from death, because many godly women have died during labor, have died in childbearing. So it doesn't mean saved from death. So what is the truth that we're being taught here about godly womanhood? Notice the context. Adam was formed first, and Adam was not deceived, but Eve was in transgression. Let me read it properly. Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in transgression. Look at the first verse of first word of verse 15. Notwithstanding. Okay, this is what happened, folks. Adam didn't protect his wife. He was supposed to protect his wife from sin. Adam failed. It was his fault. He was the leader. Mm-hmm. He was made first. He was supposed to be the protector. He did not protect his wife from sin because Adam failed to protect his wife. She was deceived. She stumbled into sin. But there's a remedy. Nevertheless, she shall be restored to the place of honor. She shall come back under that protection of Song of Solomon. She shall be in the glory that God created her in childbearing. By godly motherhood, by fulfilling the godly purpose and fulfilling God's command to be fruitful and multiply, she is restored to the glories of Eve. God created woman for companionship and for procreation. And godly women who fulfill that God-given responsibility are given the greatest honor within the Church of God. Not second to Christ, of course, but you understand what I'm saying. You see, biblical Christianity does not degrade womanhood, it elevates it. What the world is trying to push on womanhood is foolishness, it is nonsense, and it is degrading. My mother used to give lectures to women on the Equal Rights Amendment. And she said, I don't want equal rights because I don't want to step down to them. She said, today I have greater rights and greater privileges than men. Don't bring me down to their level. And it's true. And that's what Scripture is teaching us here. Adam failed. Because of Adam's failure, Eve sinned. But there's a remedy, Eve. There's a remedy, woman. Fulfill the purpose, the glorious picture of the church that God has given you, and she shall be saved in childbearing. And so, God ordained the woman to fulfill that Christ-given purpose of being the church to Christ, of being the bride. Okay, we spent a lot of time on that. We've got to move along. Thirdly, God made man and woman with different physiology, and if you don't know it, you're ignorant. God made man and woman with different physiology, and if you don't know it, you're ignorant. What does the word ignorant mean? Well, it comes from the word ignore. You see, anybody takes a look knows the difference. And to say there's no difference between man and woman is simply to ignore the obvious. Yeah. If you don't see the difference between man and woman, you're ignorant. Thinking themselves to be wise, they became fools. God made man and woman physiologically different. When they find a skeleton from a woman that died 1,000 years ago, that can look at that skeleton and that can say, this is a woman. Because the bones are different. I go to the gym in the morning, and at the gym I go to, they're both men and women. You know what? The women don't push as much weight as the men. Does it make them any less? God made them different. God made men different physiologically. God made men and women different emotionally. Women are more prone to cry. Men are more prone to fight. That's why God made them. Now think about the roles that God ordained. Man was to be the protector. Man was to be the leader. That's a fighting instinct. The women were to be the helpers and the child bearers. That's a more nurturing, emotional approach. It's the way God made them. When a child cries, the father can comfort the child, but there's nothing like the mother's arms. When my children were infants, I used to carry them in my arms and sing hymns in their ears. But a woman's voice can calm a crying child in a way that a man's voice cannot. God made man and woman with a different emotional makeup. Men and women see things differently. Men and women see things differently. Adam had seen the tree. God had specifically pointed it out to him. But Adam and Eve looked on that tree differently. Adam looked at that tree and he said, Oh no. I'll die. Eve looked at the tree and it was a tree to be desired, to make one wise. You see, she saw it from a different aspect. It's the way God made them. And again, I'm not bashing the women. The fault was Adam's. He didn't stand between Eve and the tree. But God made men and women with different emotions. Women are more prone to cry. Men are more prone to fight. If you had children and had boys and girls in the same family, if you find an animal, the boys will fight it and the girls will feed it. It's just the way, you know, here's a stray cat. The boys will be tormenting it and the girls will be getting a pan of milk. It's just the way God has made man and woman. God made us with different emotions. God made man and woman with different abilities. Boy, that's a terrible thing to say. How could you possibly say that? God made man and woman with different abilities. Both man and woman have strengths and weaknesses. Remember the negative and the positive, the battery. You need them both. God made man and woman with different privileges. I mentioned in prayer with the brethren this morning that my father used to refer to preaching as standing behind the sacred desk. It is a sacred privilege to preach the word of God that God has ordained and given to men. I believe part of that is because of the emotional makeup of men and women. God ordained that men be the preachers. That's a great privilege. I can't express how great a privilege that is. But folks, I don't have a womb. God has given to women the privilege of carrying within their body a new life. That is a privilege that is indescribable. I have taken a bottle and fed my children and cuddled them and fed them, but I could not feed them of my own body. That is an amazing privilege that God has given to women. And so, folks, I've rushed through my notes for the last part quickly because our time is getting away. But understand this. Male and female made he them. He did not make one superior to the other. He made one more beautiful than the other, that's for sure. But he didn't make them one superior and one inferior. But he gave them different roles and different responsibilities. He made them out of different stuff to show us his glorious plan of salvation. And they look at things differently. And to jump back a moment, ladies, that's why you need to keep it covered. Because men and women look at things differently. Mm-hmm. But God has created a glorious order. And Satan is determined to destroy it.
Yes.
To tear it down. To break it down. But my friend, when man and woman fulfill their responsibilities, when man steps to that spiritual leadership and protects his wife from sin, when a woman steps to her God-given responsibility and stands as the helpmeet of man, bearing children for the glory of God, she is saved in childhood. Creation is restored to what God intended it to be before the fall. And that is the whole essence of Christ and the church. And we sing the old hymn, "Finish then thy new creation." Let us stand for prayer. Father, we thank you for these glorious truths and principles, these guideposts in the Word of God that are so hated by man, so trampled upon by the media, so distorted by sin. Satan indeed is slithering through this earth on his belly, eating up the dust of mankind. Mm-hmm. Father, we thank you that your people will not be consumed. We thank you that we, the church, are that rib taken out of the very pierced side of Christ. We are your new creation. Bless us by thy truth. Give us godly homes. Make us godly fathers and mothers. Use us for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.